Hi, I'm Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. You know, since I started on the Daniel Plan, I've been reading food labels a lot more seriously. And there's a word that I notice on a lot of food labels that I don't like. It's the word substitute. The labels say that the food contains substitute chocolate, substitute sugar, even substitute meat. What is that? When you see substitute sugar, you know it's not going to be as sweet as regular sugar, and substitute chocolate doesn't taste like chocolate. And if you see a patty that says substitute meat, run. But not all substitutes are bad. The Bible says that Jesus was our substitute on the cross. He died in our place. That means you're free from the judgment of God and free to enjoy a relationship with God. Let's look into God's Word and learn the ways that Jesus spoke love from the cross.
Today, on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue with our series called When Love Speaks, Seven Words from the Cross. And this is part two of a message called The Word of Forgiveness. It's taken from various portions of Scripture. But just before today's message, why did Jesus say the things he said on the cross? What did he mean by them? And how do they apply to you? Pastor Rick Warren masterfully unlocks the deep and profound meanings of the words Jesus spoke from Calvary in his seven-message audio teaching series, When Love Speaks, Seven Words from the Cross. Now, as you listen, you'll find yourself overflowing with hope and a renewed sense of the depth of God's forgiveness and love. When Love Speaks, Seven Words from the Cross, the complete audio series from Rick Warren is yours when you support this ministry with a financial gift. So call us now at 800-600-5004 or simply go to rickwarren.org to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. Now, here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
America is becoming a nation of victims. Everybody blames everybody else for every problem, and nobody wants to accept responsibility anymore. And even in high-profile court cases, I mean, you'll get somebody like a serial killer, and his justification is, when I was a little boy, my mother held my head under the bathtub water for 3 seconds too long, and then I had all this pent-up rage, and now I've gone out and gone postal. And we want to blame everybody else. It's the government's fault, and on and on and on. And you just name everybody. Blame everybody for everything. Now, you know why we do this. The reason why we blame other people is because we feel guilty. The more guilty we feel, the more we blame other people. It's a sure sign of guilt. Blame is always an indication that I don't like me. Why? Because in your mind, there is this scale between blame and guilt, and we can't handle guilt. And so when we feel too guilty, we start blaming other people to even the score. Well, you did this, yes, but you did that. Well, you did this, yes, but you did that. Well, I did this because you act this way all the time. Blame is always an indication of guilt. We're trying to justify it in our minds because we can't handle the scale tipped two ways in the wrong direction. In fact, sometimes we even try to blame God for our mess, like Adam did. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 3, some people ruin themselves by their own stupid actions and then blame the Lord. It's like a guy says, God, why did you let me go bankrupt? And God says, wait a minute, I didn't put all that stuff on your credit card. I didn't tell you to buy a house you couldn't afford. I didn't tell you to take a risky gamble with that investment. You did that. Why are you blaming me? You made those decisions that got you into debt, and now you're blaming me because, God, why do you let me go into bankruptcy? So I didn't get you into that situation. Some people ruin themselves by their own stupid decisions and then blame the Lord. We bury it, we blame others. Neither of those work. The third way we try to deal with guilt, and it doesn't work, is we beat ourselves up. Now, some of us are blamers, and some of us are barriers, but some of us are really good at beating ourselves up. You're a merry martyr, and you feel like you have to self-administer punishment to yourself, and you're subconsciously trying to atone for the guilt in your life, and you make yourself feel bad because of the guilt. Can guilt cause illness? Oh, without a doubt. No doubt about it. I read just recently a study where a doctor said that about 50% of the people in hospitals could go home tomorrow if they knew how to get rid of their guilt. You see, when I swallow my guilt, my stomach keeps score. If I don't talk out my guilt to God, I take out my guilt on my body. And so when people say, he's a pain in the neck or back or rear or whatever, well, really, often it's guilt that's the pain. Most of the pains in life come from either resentment or guilt. Resentment, things that other people did to us, and guilt over things that we did to other people. And when you carry that, God says your body was not wired to handle guilt, and it creates all kinds of problems. As David said, I was wounded, I was hurting, nothing worked in my life, and all of that. Can guilt cause depression? Without a doubt. He says it's a heavy load. Look at this verse, Psalm 38. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a load. It weighs me down. I don't even want to get up in the morning. That's depression. Because I was foolish, I'm bent over and bowed down, and I'm sad all day long. It's a form of atonement. Can guilt sabotage my success? Without a doubt. I've seen it happen many times. You have too. People who are very talented, very bright, very intelligent, and they're just on this track to success, and they're moving up the ladder, and they're more and more successful, and then all of a sudden, one day, boom, they do the stupidest thing and sabotage their own success. And you wonder, what were they thinking? Well, one possibility is inside they were thinking, I'm not worthy of this success. And I have to atone for my guilt. And so you don't even know how your mind plays games on you. And you sabotage your own success because your conscience is saying, tilt, 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 tilt. And while you won't acknowledge it, it says, we'll get even. We'll sabotage our own success. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a load. It weighs me down. Now, here's the problem. Everybody look up here. Here's the problem with punishing yourself for your guilt. Your conscience doesn't know when to quit.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called The Word of Forgiveness in our series called When Love Speaks, Seven Words from the Cross. There's so much more great teaching coming up, so stay with us.
We hope you're enjoying today's message here on Daily Hope. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said the things he did on the cross, what he meant by them, and how they apply to you? You may be surprised to find out that Jesus was actually teaching with those words. And now Pastor Rick Warren has masterfully unlocked their deep and profound meaning in his seven-message audio teaching series, When Love Speaks, Seven Words from the Cross. As you listen, you'll find yourself overflowing with hope and a renewed sense of the depth of God's forgiveness and love. When Love Speaks, Seven Words from the Cross, the complete audio series from Rick Warren, is yours when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Call us now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Here's the problem with punishing yourself for your guilt. Your conscience doesn't know when to quit. When you start punishing yourself, your conscience does not know when to stop, when you've had enough. And so it just keeps punishing you and punishing you and punishing you, and more and more happens. Some of you are still beating yourself up for stuff that happened months ago, years ago, maybe even decades ago. And every time you think about it, you beat yourself up again. Why did I do that? And the regret and the shame and all that piles in on you. Those don't work. Burying, blaming, beating ourselves up do not work. What does Jesus want us to do with our guilt? He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. What does he want us to do with our guilt? Three things. Number one, he says, admit it. That's the starting point. If you turn your outline over, the Bible is very clear and specific about how to get off a guilt trip. Because a guilt trip's just a dead end. Now, the steps are simple, but they are not easy. And the first is admit it. I don't bury it. I don't deny it. I don't ignore it. I just own up to it. You be a man. You be a woman. You own up to it. And you admit, I have sinned. I have made a mistake. This is wrong. Now, sometimes we even try to run from our guilt. And we try to run away from it and try to escape it. And the primary way we try to do it is by keeping busy. Busyness is often a coping device for dealing with guilt. Workaholism can be a device for escaping guilt. Overwork. I'll just keep myself busy and I'll just move from one thing to the next. And you can do that even in good things. I've seen people do this with ministry. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason. And if it is guilt that is motivating you to do good, to try to atone for something in your past, or to try to prove your worth, or try to express to God, look, I'm valuable, you're missing the point. When you're running from guilt, it's going to catch up with you. Sometimes we run by traveling. You ever seen that book, Eat, Pray, Love? That's a book about guilt. When you understand it, she's running away from her guilt. And thinking, well, if I just go to Italy or I go to India or I go, then I'll get over, I'll find peace of mind. No, you got to get over your guilt. Or we think we're going to move. Well, I'll just move to Idaho. You know, the problem with travel and moving because of guilt is you take you with you. And the problem is between your ears. It's in your mind. And so you're not going to find any relief in Idaho. You're still going to be just as stressed there if the stress is coming from regrets, from shame, from guilt, trying to run from your past. You're still taking you with you. It doesn't work. And when you finally slow down and you put your head down on the pillow at night, all those feelings come crashing back in again. God doesn't want you to live that way. The Bible says you can't run from yourself. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, there on your outline, the Lord gave us a mind and a conscience. Your conscience came from God. We cannot hide from ourselves. You may be able to hide your guilt from everybody else, but you can't hide it from you. And that's why it starts with personal honesty in admitting to myself and admitting to God, that was wrong. Look at this verse on the screen. Verse John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, I don't carry any guilt. I don't have anything I'm ashamed of. I don't have any regrets. I've never sinned. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We, as human beings, have an amazing ability to lie to ourselves. You do it all the time. I do it all the time. We lie to ourselves all the time and we believe our lies. And you say it's not bad when it really is bad. And it's getting better when it isn't getting better. And it's okay when it's not okay. And you tell yourself you're really further along and better than you really are. We lie to ourselves all the time. The Bible says the heart is deceitful. Now I want you to write this down. To stop defeating myself, I have to stop deceiving myself. To stop defeating myself, I have to stop deceiving myself. I have to tell myself the truth. Now, what is it that defeats us? Well, all kinds of things. Worry defeats us. Envy defeats us. Bitterness defeats us. Jealousy defeats us. Guilt defeats us. Fear and anxiety, insecurity defeats us. If I want to stop defeating myself, I have to stop lying to myself, deceiving myself. And so what I suggest you do is that you do a little spiritual spring cleaning. You know, a lot of people in the spring or sometimes even at the end of the summer to get ready for fall and the holidays, you kind of go through the house and you kind of clean everything, give it an extra dusting job, and you kind of try to organize things so you're ready for the fall or whatever. I suggest that at least once a year, you do an extended personal inventory of your spiritual condition. How do you do that? Well, let me explain it, because I suggest you do it this week before we get into the fall. Here's how you do a personal spiritual inventory. First you do is you take a couple hours and you set it aside, because it's going to take you a couple hours. All right? And you set it aside and you get off by yourself with a yellow pad and a pencil. And if you're serious about being guilt-free, you're going to do this on a regular basis. The garbage has to be taken out periodically. If you just leave all the garbage in your house, it piles up. In your life, you have to take out the garbage periodically. The stuff that's wrong in your life that piles up. Otherwise, your life starts stinking like garbage. So you get a pencil and a piece of paper, and then you sit down and you say, God, I want you to bring to mind, help me to remember, everything I feel guilty about, either consciously or unconsciously. What's wrong? What have I blown? Where have I sinned? What mistakes? What do I feel guilty about, either consciously or unconsciously? And you sit down and you start writing those things down. You say, well, I can't think of anything. You're not trying. Believe me, just sit there for a little bit. You'll start thinking of stuff. It'll start coming to mind. If you're honest to God, really honest to God, you're authentic, God's Spirit will start bringing these things to mind. So that was wrong. That was wrong. And you start writing them down. Lord, there was that time I exaggerated, and you write it down. There was that time when I was envious, and you write it down. There was that time when somebody hurt my feelings and I attacked them back. You write it down. Whatever it is, if it's lust, you write it down. If it's fear, you write it down. If it's I stole from that person, if it's I cheated that person, if I gossiped about that person, whatever it is, you just start letting God make the list in your life. Now you say, Rick, why do I have to write it down? Can't I just think about the things I've done wrong? No. Because writing it down helps you be more specific. You committed those things one by one. You're going to need to confess them one by one. You don't need to say, oh, dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done in the last 30 years. Bingo. Blanket coverage. God says, you really don't mean this, do you? You don't even care enough to point them out, to think them through. You committed those false ideas one by one, and you need to confess them one by one. So writing them down makes you be specific. Now, once you've done that, you admit it, you're ready for step two. And step two, after I admit it, is I accept responsibility for the junk in my life, for the garbage in my life, for the self-centered times in my life. I don't rationalize it. Happened a long time ago. I don't blame others. It was mostly their fault. It may be mostly their fault. I want you to focus on the 1% that's your fault and not the 99%. You're not confessing their sins. You're the one that's getting rid of your guilt. Maybe it's only 1%. You don't minimize. You don't make excuses. You know, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. When he wrote Psalm 51, his prayer of repentance, he doesn't even mention her. Never even mentions her name. Why? It's not about her. It's about him. By the way, Psalm 51, write that down. Psalm 51 is a great psalm to read as your prayer. If you don't know what to say, just say, God, I'm going to say what David said, and so make this my prayer. It's the prayer he prayed when he committed adultery. It's a great, great prayer of cleansing and forgiveness. Psalm 51 and verse 3, David says this, I recognize my faults. I am conscious of my sins. I accept responsibility. Now, what's the best way to ensure that I really am acting responsibility, that I'm owning up to it, that I'm being a man, that I'm being a real woman? I'm not wimping out on this. The best way to get over the feeling of feeling guilty is to tell one other person. You go, oh, great. Now, I don't say tell the whole world. You don't need to. You find one person who loves you unconditionally, who's not going to judge you, who'll just be a listening ear, and you tell one other person. And that is going to be the removal of your feeling of guilt. Now, listen to me very quickly. You don't have to confess to another person to be forgiven. All you have to do is confess to God, and you'll be forgiven. But many of you, God's already forgiven you, and you still feel guilty. If you want to be forgiven, you tell God. If you want to feel forgiven, you got to tell one other person. It's the way God wired it. In fact, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. We only get well in community. Now, you don't have to tell a bunch of people. You only really need to tell one person. And if it's between you and another person that you've sinned against, you go to that person. But you just tell, say, I just need to sit down and let me give you my spiritual evaluation. Can you listen for 5 minutes? Yeah. And the Bible says we accept responsibility. God says this is an essential key to your healing. Look at this next verse. James 5:16. Admit your faults to one another. Circle one another. It doesn't say to God. It says admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Circle the word healed. It doesn't say so that you may be forgiven, so that you may be healed. These are two different things. Forgiveness comes from God. Healing comes in relationships. And this is why so many people have confessed to sin to God, and God's forgiven them, and they still carry guilt the rest of their life. Because they've never been healed. They've been forgiven, but not healed of their faults. You say, Rick, why do I need to do this? Why do I need to drag one other person into my own personal sin? Listen very closely. It's the most important thing I'll tell you right now. Because the root of all our problems is relational. The root of all our problems is relational.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. If you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment to share a closing thought, but right before that, why did Jesus say the things he said on the cross? What did he mean by them, and how do they apply to you? Pastor Rick Warren masterfully unlocks the deep and profound meanings of the words Jesus spoke from Calvary in his seven-message audio teaching series, When Love Speaks, Seven Words from the Cross. Now, as you listen, you'll find yourself overflowing with hope and a renewed sense of the depth of God's forgiveness and love. When Love Speaks, Seven Words from the Cross, the complete audio series from Rick Warren is yours when you support this ministry with a financial gift. So call us now at 1-800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. Oh, and while you're at the website, make sure you sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email. Click on his social media links, check out all the other helpful study resources available to you, and again, it's rickwarren.org. Thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Jesus is in the business of giving people a fresh start. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate, fresh start, it all comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. You see, there are several things that happen immediately when you give your life to Jesus Christ. Number one, when you open up your life to Christ, you get to know God. Second, you're given a brand new life. And third, you get a future in heaven. If you'd like to know more about this, go to the website rickwarren.org. And while you're there, click on the Know God tab, and there's a video by me and a guide explaining what it means to trust your life to Jesus Christ. Or you can email me, rick@rickwarren.org, and tell me, hey, Rick, I want to make a fresh start with God. I want to get to know Jesus. And I'll be glad to send you some material that'll help you with your decision. By the way, if these messages are helping you, please remember to share them with your friends. The good news about Jesus is just too good to keep to yourself. If you go to rickwarren.org, then you can listen online anytime, and you can share a link to any individual message that you like that ministered to you, and you can share it with your friends on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Pinterest or email or whatever. I hope you'll pass on a message today. Thanks for listening. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous support.